Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. A number of years ago at camp, they had this as a theme, and they had a song that went along with it. But I don't know how it goes. Actually, I know how the first couple lines go, but I'm not going to try to sing it for you. And actually, I don't think Christian, I think it was before Christian's time even at camp. It was many, many years ago. Did you remember it? You do? Do you want to sing it for us? You sure? Okay. It's verses 1 and 2. We might actually try to teach it to Brother Jim and Miss Kathy so we could sing it a little bit. Here's my thoughts for tonight is, we want to make sure that we have the right mindset all year long. But sometimes we get off track a little bit during this time of year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Sometimes we get the wrong type of mindset. And I want to make sure we have our affections in the right spots. It still amazes me how someone can take Thanksgiving and turn it into one of the most greedy days of the year when it comes to Black Friday. Isn't that crazy? And don't get me wrong, I look for a good deal. I say it's being a wise steward. I think it's, you can go shopping and you can try to make good bargains, but there's a lot of times where they're just promoting greed and they're promoting things that people really don't need. And so you say, is it wrong? I said, no, sometimes I'll go out and we'll go shopping looking for good deals. Don't mind standing in line if it means saving a little bit of money. Some people think we're crazy, and that's fine. I understand that. But at the same time, what they're trying to promote, anybody can take something and make something wrong out of it. The same thing like Christmas. What is Christmas for? It's the birth of Jesus, right? And then what do we hear the most about? I mean, you hear about Santa Claus. That's right. You hear about elves and other things, that anything that will just drive people away from having their hearts and their minds on the right thing. Anytime you pick a theme for a year, you envision all these different messages you're going to bring about that theme. And this is one of the verses that I was interested, because to have the proper vision, we're going to have our affections set in the right spot. And here in Colossians chapter number 3, you see where it says in verse number 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The message tonight is just hopefully to put us in a little bit of a right mindset, what we should be thinking about, where our hearts should be this Christmas season. You say, well, it's not even December yet. If they can put decorations up in the stores, I can talk about Christmas or preach about Christmas. This is something that's applicable to all of our lives. But during this time of year, many times people will take things and they will put things in front of God. And they'll say, well, I'll just get back to God later on after the beginning of the year. When I start making those New Year resolutions, then I'll get back to God. See, I don't want to miss this season. This season is a season, an opportunity to reach the lost. It's an opportunity to praise the Lord. It's an opportunity to show to the world and to God himself that he's still number one in our lives. And sometimes this word affection, where it says in verse number 2, set our affection. This word affection means a passion or a desire. And sometimes people become passionate and they desire certain things. We've talked a little bit about my boys before. Once again, we will not tell you which one's which. But, I have boys, and when it comes to Christmas, there's one. When I ask them what they want for Christmas, they say, I don't know. And he's actually the frustrating one, because he's like, you ask him, I don't know. He says, I don't really need anything, and things like that. He knows he's still going to get something. He's just trying to give us a hard time in helping. Don't get me wrong. I know that some people, the way they celebrate Christmas, they don't exchange gifts. I don't think there's anything wrong with showing your appreciation and love towards others through gift giving, as long as you keep Christ first. But I think there's something wrong with making an idol out of something. And sometimes that's what a gift is. Sometimes when you ask a child, unlike my other son, who will tell you, 100 things he wouldn't mind having. So, I mean, they're completely different. Once again, we're not going to tell you which one's which. The one you might think, oh, that's nice, he's the one that's harder to buy for. The one that thinks that, he doesn't mind. If you want to get him something, he'll appreciate it. He'll be thankful for it. And if you need some help, I'll give you a list. And the list keeps on growing and growing. And as he thinks, he comes across, oh, Dad, you can get that for me for Christmas. Or you can tell Grandma and Pap at that. You know, it just goes and goes. The other one's like, I don't really need anything. And so, whatever. So, but here's the thought. The idea here is sometimes there usually is some type of gift, and usually some type of toy that is like each year you've got to have type thing. We remember those Elmo dolls. You guys remember those Elmo dolls, those Tickle Me Elmos. I don't know how many years ago that was, but that was the it gift. It became the point that everybody set their affection on getting that gift, and they sought after it. They seeked after it. I remember the one year when my in-laws wanted to get the boys a Wii, and it was when the Wii was newer. And so we went around and we went shopping for that Wii here. We went to all different types of stores looking for the Wii. And, you know, we were seeking after it because we wanted to be a blessing to them, but also knew it's something the boys really wanted and would enjoy. We sought for something. We looked for something. We desired something. And sometimes when it comes to Christmas and it comes to the season, we forget the things that our hearts should be desiring more than anything else is God. And the things of heaven, the things that are in the heavenlies, Jesus Christ, and what he should mean to our lives. It's his birthday anyway. And so, like I said, there's nothing wrong with trying to be a help to someone. But I know that sometimes people will fight over those gifts. Sometimes they'll spend enormous amounts of money, things like that. It's because they got the wrong passions. They have taken and set their affection on something that is different than what it should be, which is God. You know what that makes it? It makes it an idol. It's an idol when you put anything before God. And so I want us to be careful. I know sometimes ladies might make an idol out of Christmas dinner. It's got to be so much and so big and so perfect. And it's got to, and I think it's nice. I enjoy eating Christmas dinner. I mean, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, you know, you can put something and get your mindset, get your mind and your affections off of who it's supposed to be on, and place it on something else, something as simple as food, something as even if you are the giver and trying to find the affection or find a perfect gift or whatever it is. If there is something that is stopping your worship with God and stopping your time and taking your affection off of where it should be and putting it somewhere else, it's wrong. And that's something I want us to focus on a little bit. I know the young people are here tonight. I think that's great. I want them to hear that nothing wrong with receiving a gift and being thankful for it. But make sure your affections aren't about that. Make sure your Christmas is not dependent upon, if I get this certain gift, then Christmas will be good. No, Christmas is already good because we got the greatest gift. And it does not matter for that. And ladies, you know, with the turkey or ham, depending on what you eat that day, I think you should have turkey dinner at Christmas. I know other people think it's ham, other people think it's beef, whatever it is. You know, that's not going to make what Christmas what it should be. Having a right heart at Christmas is what's going to make Christmas what it should be. And, you know, dads and husbands, you know, make sure that you have the right affection. You know, it's better to have a good father and a good husband than it is to have the best gift underneath the tree. Don't sell God short during this time. Don't take your affections and place it somewhere else during this time. Put your affections squarely where it's supposed to be at, on God and himself. Let's look what it says here in these couple of verses here. There's a couple of verses that come to mind. You think about what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. What is a treasure? Something you're passionate about. Something that you desire. And that's here on this earth. Those things they're not going to last. I wonder how many of us really have any of us. Does anybody have a Tickle Me Elmo at home? Yep, Mr. Bateman does. That's great. Do you play with it still? Miss Rochelle plays with it. I think it's probably her grandkids that play with it. Here's the thing is, pretty soon the moth, the rust, pretty soon it's going to corrupt. Unless you kept it in the box so you can sell it 20 years from now, then that's a smart thing to do. These things will not last. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through it nor steal. We know that everybody tonight's going to be scoping out Miss Rochelle and Mr. Bateman's house to try to steal their toy. And it's because here's the important thing. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is your treasure tonight? This Christmas season, if our treasure is found in things besides God. And once again, there could be good things. There can be cantatas that people can make idols out of, family that people make idols out of, and they could be things that friendship. But you know what? Service, all of that should come from a heart as desiring and to hear from God, having their affection set in the right spot. Paul's discussing our spiritual position here. He uses the word in verse number one, if. Now, I know most people think of this word if. It's a statement of a possibility. But here in this verse, it is a declaration of a spiritual reality. He is making an argument, or he's making a case here. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you are a Christian, if you are dead to the flesh and you are alive in Christ, if ye then be risen in Christ. He says, if you're a believer here, if when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, every person who would ever place their faith in Christ died that day. In a spiritual sense, we died to the penalty and the power of sin when Jesus died on the cross. Because I am dead, I do not have to worry about being punished for my sins. The price he has been paid, and I've already died. Because I've died with Christ, I have also been liberated from the power of sin in my life. And I can choose not to live a life of sin. There is a sense when every child of God is if you are a child of God, if you have been risen with Christ, then we should be doing something different. We should be seeking those things which are above. So I want you to think here for a few minutes. First of all, seeking those things which are above. Seek is an interesting word. It actually describes having an urgency and a desire and an ambition to motivate you towards something. And here's the idea the Bible tells us over and over. He says in Psalms 119, seek him with your whole heart. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, seek him while it's early. The Bible talks about how we should seek him. And this word seek, it means that you have an urgency, you have a desire, you have an ambition, something that motivates you towards something. And as I said, some people have taken their affections off of seeking after God, and they place them on the things of this world, and they place them on things that really don't matter, where the rust is going to someday take it out, and someday it's going to corrupt, and someday these things are going to be worthless, and sometimes they're going to be the junk that's in somebody's attic. Why do we put such interest and such desires for these things? The Bible says, set your affections on things above. How do you do that? It's by seeking it. We watch Olympic games. We see folks who are running, see people who are performing athletic events that most of us would probably have a heart attack if we tried to do it. But these athletic events, and these runners and these athletes, what are they doing? They're seeking something. They're desiring to win a gold. It becomes consuming. They are passionate about it. They are on a mission. And Paul is exhorting us to seek those things of heaven with this kind of intensity, this kind of urgency, this kind of need. We need to seek those things which are above. We need to take our mind off the things of this world and place them on the things of God. I've gone to Black Friday shopping before, and I've seen some of the best of mankind. Most of the time I see the worst of mankind. I've been close by when people are fighting over something. I've seen where people fight off over bikes. I've heard how people fight over towels. And you know, to be honest with you, the towels are really, really cheap. There's a reason why they cost a dollar. It's the last thing you need to be fighting over. But you know, they are fighting, they are seeking something, they are desiring it. They have set their mind. This is a present imperative, which means it's a continual, ongoing effort. Something that we should be seeking. So not only do we see here that we should seek the things above, but the Bible says here in verse number 2, set your affection on things above. This is the word that's imperative in the present. It means that it's a continuous, ongoing effort required. It's referring to your mind, your affection. It sets your minds on the things that are above. It is a constant, deliberate act of our wills that we have to practice. Our flesh is not going to desire this. Our flesh is going to desire the things of this world. Our flesh is going to make excuses. Our flesh is going to tell us lies. Our flesh is going to say, your mind does not need to be on God. But Paul's saying here, look, seek those things which are above. take your mind and set it in those things that are above. We set our mind on those things and we move ourselves in a direction until it is accomplished. I know sometimes people are so focused that they'll do whatever they can to be able to get whatever they're seeking. And this is the idea of what we need to be focused on in heavenly things. We've been focused on that in earthly things before. We focus on finding and searching and working so hard to make everything perfect and to get exactly what is what we consider important and best. And I think Paul is saying here, take those desires, take those methods, that type of thinking, and seek after God. And take your mind and take your mind off the things of this world and put your mind on the things of God and keep it there. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? There's four things I'd like you to think about how we can set our affection on things above. First thing, one way we can do it is through prayer. Through prayer. How do we get our mind from being something that is carnally minded, set on the things of this world? How do we get our mind to the point where we can mind heavenly things? It says, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Don't waste your time with the things of this world. Instead, focus on the things that God has for us. Through prayer is number one. No prayer changes things. I've heard people say that. I think that's a good quote. But I think it could even be a little bit changed as prayer changes people. It is what God is trying to do, is let, when we pray and we go to God and we say, God, this is my desire, but I know that you are God, and I know that we are not ourselves, that you made us, and that we're the sheep of your pasture. Whatever it is you desire from us, Lord, I'm willing to accept. But when we pray and we seek God's face and we seek God's will, God many times does not change the circumstance. Many times God changes us to follow his will and his desires. See, God is not, when we pray, we're not trying to get our will done up in heaven. We're trying to get God's will done in our lives. And so how do we take our things from the things of this world, you know, when everything is so busy and everything is so jam-packed, and where the flesh and the media is saying, you need this, you got to have this, your child deserves this, your husband, your wife, this and that. So what do? You pray. You remember the things of God. Remember those things are important. I think taking a missionary and praying for a different missionary every day, putting yourself where they're at, is a good way that you can keep your mind focused. You know, you grab a missionary off the missionary board. You get our Wednesday night bulletin. Take a missionary every single day. Learn something about them. You think of the Ashberries as one of the first ones on that list because they're A. You think, you know what? They're over in Africa, and they have the two kids, and they're, and you begin thinking about what you know. If you don't know much about them, find out something about them. And most of them even have websites nowadays, or you can go back to those sheets and those prayer letters, and you think about it. I wonder what it's like in Christmas in Africa. And you go look that up online, and you know, you could pray specifically for those people and what God's been doing. And you know what? Your mindset and your affection is now drawn to the servants of God and what they're doing, and while they're trying to win people to Christ, and they're asking you to pray for this individual, and they're seeking this type of gift, or they're this and that. You know what? Your mind so long now is not on the things of this world. They're on the things that these people are trying to accomplish. I think if you could pray, it will keep us with our affections on above. I think that not only a missionary family, I think taking a church member and a church minister and praying for them is something to keep your mind focused on. I tell you, when praying for the church and the family that God has given us is a tremendous way to become more heavenly minded. When we take our focus and our efforts off ourselves and we begin thinking of others, God will cause you to have a love for them. God will cause you to have a united front, in a sense. You'll become unified and you'll want to help them. You'll want to bless them. So how is that doing things that are above? That's how God wants us to love one another. That's what God wants to see, a love for the brethren. That's how he wants us to treat one another. These are heavenly things that we keep our minds on. You know, you can pray for them regularly. You can take those that have been sick, you can pray for a widow lady regularly. Believe me, I've been to those widow lady meetings. They need prayer, that's for sure. You can take a child. You can take a teenager. You can make a list of them and pray for them every single day. Pray for a different one every single day. And what are you doing is you're taking your mind off of yourself, and you're taking your mind off the things of this world, and you're asking God to work in that young person's life. You're asking God to work in that widow lady's life. You're asking God to do what he desires. You know what our focus and our interests are going to be in? It's going to be in serving. and in a love for a family. Another thing I think about is, if we want to keep our affection set on the things above and not on the things of the world, we learn how to pray, but we also learn how to study our Bibles. Not just read them, we learn how to meditate on the Word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways, by taking heed according to thy word. You know, when the meditation of words, God's word, is the thoughts of our lives, is when we take our mind off the things of this world and we remove our minds to the things of God. Meditation. Say, Pastor, that seems so foolish. That seems so impossible. You know what? Didn't David say in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, at verse number 2, how he meditated day and night? This is what his thought process was. This is what his mind is. And you see here in verse number 3, it talks about our past. For ye are dead. It talks about when we die to Christ and your life is hid with Christ and God. And it speaks about our future when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Paul is saying, Christ, who is our life, who we have life through, shall appear. Even Paul himself, you know, he continued on in desire to know. And that's what his holy ambition was, to know him and the power of his resurrection. We must understand that this is something we should be seeking after. How do we keep our minds off the things of this world and set in the heavenly places? It's through Bible study and through meditation. One preacher put it this way. When we are consumed with the reality of heaven, Christ is free to consume us on earth. When we are consumed with the reality of heaven, Christ is free to consume us on earth. Now, it's the idea that then Christ can live through us. So how do we take our thoughts this Christmas season off of the world and all the things that are going on? We learn to pray. We take a little bit more time. I know you say, Pastor, the time is crunched. The time is short, smaller. You got to spend time with the Lord. If you say you're too busy to pray, believe me, you're too busy not to pray. You need God's help. You need God's directions during this time. And you do it through Bible study, through meditation. Memorize scripture. Things that you struggle with, find verses and begin to think on those. Carry note cards with you throughout the day. And as you have a chance, to check your iPad or check your tablet or your phone for your messages. Forget about that also often and pull it out and read the card, that the verse that God's spoken to your heart about. Now set your affection. Set your mind on the things above. Third thing, not just through prayer and through Bible study and meditation, through giving. Through giving. There you are, preacher, talking about money again. You know what? Where our treasure is, there's going to be where our heart is also. And if you invest your resources in giving of tithes, which I believe the Bible requires, we become interested in things. If we give in offerings, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become interested in it. You're going to, if you give to these missionaries, you know what? You're going to be interested in what they're doing. Not so you can sit there and check, how do they use the money here? Or how do you use the money there? Yes, there's checks and balances, and we want to make sure that they're using their funds appropriately and using it for the furtherance of the gospel. I get that. No, but when you give, when you begin praying, God works in your heart and God enables you. He engages you to give and to do what he's called you to do. You know what? Your affections are going to be on what God's doing over there, because you have placed your resources there. We give as an obedience to God. We should do it cheerfully. But when we give something, our heart is there. Where your treasure is where your heart will be also. Another way we give is by using our times and our talents in the service for the Lord. We can never outgive God. Say, what do you mean? He says, well, when you invest your time and energy in certain people or certain groups, one or two things are going to happen. You're going to become interested in them, or you're going to give up. As you spend time with children, or as you spend time with teenagers, or you spend time with young adults, middle-aged people, older people, widows, widowers, as you spend time of your energy and your time, you'll either stop serving or you'll become interested in them. Your mindset will no longer be on yourself. Instead, you'll begin seeing yourself praying for those young people you work with. Going over and helping that elderly person, praying for that family that's struggling, encouraging them. you know, when we do these things, you know what happens? We take our mind off our own little world and we begin to set our affections on the things that matters to God. Last but not least, not only is it through prayer and through meditation, through giving, I think it's, we should take time to worship God. Take time to worship Him. Say, Pastor, isn't that what prayer and meditation and giving is? They are forms of worship. But I think we have to live a life that proves that He's worthy of all honor, worthy of all praise. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23, it's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. I love that verse because it says God is looking for people who are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. They're not going to do it falsely. They're not going to have to work themselves up into some type of lather. They're not going to have to make some type of false worship. They see God. They see the value of God. He is worthy of their praise. He is worthy of their obedience. He is worthy of everything. And we spend time saying and living our lives as He is worthy of. I know we have these Christmas carols we love. We got hymns that we could read and spend time and meditate on and think about how great God is. Worship has the idea of believing He is worthy of our praise. You can worship Him through song, yes, but you can worship Him through actions. When my flesh tells me I should do something that is wrong and I say no to my flesh and yes to God, you know what that is? That is a form of worship. When I say no, I'm not going to do what the devil wants me to do. I'm not going to do what my flesh is telling me to do. I'm going to stop and I'm going to start. That's worshiping God. And this upcoming Christmas season, you can choose to do the things that you desire. But you're not going to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I want to encourage you tonight. What are you looking for? I know when we enter into the season, I don't want to put a damper on it. I think I want you to have the greatest Christmas that you've ever had. I want to see God work. I want to see God move. I want to see God bless. I want to see it be exciting for everyone. But be exciting because we've put Him first and allowed God to dictate the rest of it. Some of you might recall an old candid camera episode where an actor is on a busy sidewalk and he begins looking at the ground. And most of you know what candid camera is. For you children that are here, candid camera is something that they would hide a camera and then they would ask an actor to do something and then how see how other people reacted. It says that this actor was looking on the ground and he walks around a bit and continues to look down. People are passing by him. Few even give him a strange look. After a couple minutes, he decides to get down on his hands and knees and begins feeling around with his hands. People begin to slow down and watch what he's doing. Finally, one person stops and starts looking at the ground near him. Then another one, and then another one, and another one. And then when there's about a dozen people looking down, some even on their hands and knees, at that point, the actor gets up and leaves quietly. And the people are still sitting there looking and looking and looking. No one even notices that the actor has left because they are so intent in their search that they have never even bothered to ask what they're looking for. You know, I think this is a good picture of how many people live in our society today. They're searching for something. They're searching for something because they know there's more to life. They know there's more to life. What they found. You know, I think there is so much more to worshiping God this Christmas and Thanksgiving than what we put into it. And their story, I'm not going to give away the story in a few weeks. The richest family in town is a story about a family that takes their mind off of themselves and the things of the earth and begins thinking about how they can help others. And you'll hear the story, and it's a really neat story, but it's just they have their affections on the right thing. They've taken their mind off the things of this world and they put it up where it belongs, in the heavens. And the Bible says, you say, Pastor, this seems too unreasonable. And Paul says, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on those things that are above. As believers, we are to live a life completely different than those people that are on the ground looking for something. to. Their affection is found here in this world. Their affection is making everything perfect. Their affection is found. Their desire, their passion is found in earthly things. As a Christian, we're supposed to be different. Our passion, our desire is found in Christ. Look what it says in verse number 3 at the end. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, that's what our life is supposed to be wrapped up around. And I'm not telling you that you should not buy gifts for your kids, because I know when I leave tonight, the kids are going to be stepping on my toes because they're upset with me. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, let's direct our thoughts and our hearts to where it should always be, and that is God. Our lives are in Christ. He is our life. Let's set our affection right where it belongs, up in the heavens. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and the eyes closed.